no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this week. Our hour of radio drama begins with High Adventure this week. We'll hear their episode from February 26, 1950, titled Sentinel on 73rd. After that, it's Tales of the Texas Rangers and Blood Relative, their story from November 12th, 1950.
Cholten, makers of Old Spice aftershave lotion for that top-of-the-world feeling after every shave, brings you the top of the world in action drama for men. High Adventure!
Friends, just as the man said, this is High Adventure. And in the event you're not sure what that means, I'll tell you. It means if you have the heart for it, one that can stand a little excitement, mister, sit down. We'll try and give it some exercise. High Adventure means a story of savage action and strong suspense. A story of a man like you, perhaps, who lives a normal life. But this man had one thrilling moment or incident which has but one definition: high adventure. And to prove our point, on the agenda is Sentinel on 73rd, written and directed for High Adventure by Bob Monroe, which concerns a man who saw too much, talked too much, and... well, you find out for yourself. Here is Sentinel on 73rd, told by the man it happened to, Stanley Trimmer's big city story of High Adventure.
There's a great deal of truth in the old saying that if we could see ourselves as other people see us, we'd all be a lot better human being. You never pay any attention to a saying like that until it applies to you. But it applied to me, and I found out the truth. I had a good job, head salesman for the used car department of a good dealer. Had a good wife and a comfortable living. I liked most people. I thought most people liked me. But I guess the real change began that evening I made Larry stay at the showroom with me, handle customers, while I made out expense vouchers for the last week. It was about 9:20 when we finally closed up. Let ourselves out through the side door into the building lobby.
And I bet you we sell that convertible before another day's business. That's the kind of car that moves fast.
It's a dog. It'll stay on the floor for months.
Have you ever handled them before?
Why, of course I have.
Look, the kids come in, they look at it, they lay down their dough.
I know it won't sell. We'll mark it down tomorrow.
All right, lose money on it. See what Manny says.
That's the only way we'll get rid of it. I know.
I said all right.
Well, good night, Larry.
Where you going? Aren't you going to have a cup of coffee?
I want to phone May. I'm starting home. Besides, coffee keeps you awake.
That's just talk.
No, it does. I know.
Okay, I'll see you tomorrow.
You can get out through the front lobby door. It's still open.
I thought they left the side door open.
It's the front door. I know.
If you say so.
Good night, Larry.
Hello?
May, I'm through. I'm starting home.
Yes, Stan.
You get my suit from the cleaners?
I couldn't find the ticket.
May, I told you it was in the top drawer of the dresser.
I looked, but it wasn't there, Stan.
It is. I put it there myself.
Well, I did look.
It's there. I know.
Perhaps you put it in
the... I'll show you when I get home.
It's the side door.
Oh, what? What?
Front door's locked, like I thought.
Hello?
Now I'll try the side door. Good night, Stan.
Yes, good night, Larry.
Hello?
I'm still here, May.
What's the matter?
Just saying good night to Larry.
Oh, how's he getting along?
Got a lot to learn. I'll tell you about it when I get there.
All right, Stan.
I'll be home in about 20 minutes.
Be careful. The traffic on the drive's heavy this time of night.
No, it isn't. Not this late.
Well, the last time we
I've driven it 100 times, May. I know. I'll be home in 20 minutes.
Yes, Stan.
Bye. Oh, excuse me. I didn't know you were waiting. Front door's always open. Larry doesn't know how to work the night lock. Some people never learn. I thought so.
Hello?
All right, all right. Stay back, will you? Want to see a dead body go to your old lady's funeral?
Hey, Stan!
What's going on, Larry?
Guy was just shot. He was stepping out of that car at the curb when bam, bam, he gets it before he goes three steps.
That's terrible.
They're looking for the guy that done it now. They're going to close in, search the whole block.
They know who did it?
Yeah, sure. There's this guy in a gray overcoat. He walked right up, pulled out a gun and shot.
You see it?
No, I got it from the policeman. They're looking for the guy in a gray overcoat.
Gray overcoat. Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Officer!
Stay back, will you?
Officer, he's in that building. I saw him.
Who'd you see?
Man in a gray overcoat. He was in the lobby of the building.
Sure, he had a gray overcoat?
I know. I saw him.
I didn't see him, but...
He was there when I came out of the phone booth, right after you left.
What building?
There at the corner of 73rd.
There's plenty of guys with gray overcoats.
Larry, take a man and cover that building in the corner. I'm the devil.
I know it was a man.
How do you know?
He had a strange look on his face.
You saw his face?
Why, yes, I certainly did.
Got a good look at it, eh?
Oh, yes.
That's fine, fine. More than anybody else
Frank.
Had. Yes, sir.
Any luck yet?
We got the whole block surrounded, sir. He can't get away.
No, they never do.
We got prowl cars in all four corners.
Why don't you find somebody who saw which way he went?
I've been trying to, sir.
You didn't have any luck.
I saw the man.
Oh, you did?
Yes, sir, just before I came out of the building.
What building?
Northwest corner, 73rd, right over there.
Mike, you got the men checking on
sure,
this?
Sure, they're working on it now.
Why didn't you tell me about this?
He just come up and told me about it.
This man wearing a gray overcoat?
Yes, he was.
Short, tall, or average height?
Tall.
Dark hat?
Why, yes.
Sounds like our killer. You get a look at his face?
Oh, yes.
You'd recognize him again if you saw him.
Why, yes, I certainly could.
Lieutenant.
Yeah?
The boys found this in the phone booth in the building lobby.
Let's see it.
32 automatic.
It's about the right caliber for the hole in the guy's head. We'll check it in the lab.
I'll turn it over to the sergeant.
Now, mister, that gun makes it important.
Yes?
You're positive you can identify the man
well,
you saw?
Well, I know I can.
You have to be positive.
I am.
All right, come along.
What for?
You're evidently the only person around here who kept his eyes open.
Well, I...
They get away from us in spite of all we can do. They're that slippery sometimes. Well, we got you, mister, and you'll give them the chair.
I'll what?
Evidently, our killer slipped into your building, got rid of the gun in the phone booth, and then came out and joined the crowd. Without you, we wouldn't know him from the next guy. So come along, you're going to be busy.
Where are we going?
Station. Arnett will bring him in eventually, and when it does, he won't get away. You'll be there to identify him. What's your name, mister?
Trimmer, Stan Trimmer.
All right, come along, Mr. Trimmer. Now, until we get our boy, you're an important man.
I am?
You are, mister. And until we do get our boy, we're going to see that nothing happens to you. Mike!
Yes, sir?
Put him in a prowl car, take him down to precinct station, watch over him. He's important. Lock him up tight.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's go, mister. You're getting a free room and bath.
Well, thank you. I'll be glad to help. Larry, will you call my wife and explain for me? Tell her I'll phone her as soon as I can.
Oh, sure.
Tell her the police want me for some very important work.
Well, that's stepping into it with your eyes closed, isn't it? Of course, it's a good thing for our friend Stan Trimmer to help the police if he can, but he seems too sure about everything. Anyway, we'll find out the truth, but this is the beginning of another high adventure.
They say it's dangerous to think you know all the answers, and I guess we'll have proof of that before we've gone much further with our high adventure story. But there are some things it's not only safe but smart to be sure of. For instance, it's safe and smart for every man to know that Old Spice aftershave lotion is the perfect finish for a shave. Old Spice aftershave lotion is soothing, antiseptic, and healing to the skin. It instantly takes away uncomfortable razor burn, and your skin feels cool and refreshed. Old Spice aftershave lotion has a clean, fresh, masculine scent that men prefer, and we've heard it rumored that the girls like it too. No wonder more men buy Old Spice than any other aftershave lotion at a dollar. Yes, everywhere you go, you'll find that men who appreciate real quality, men who know the value of good grooming, say for that top-of-the-world feeling, I use Old Spice lotion every time I shave.
And now back to Sentinel on 73rd, as told by the man it happened to, Stan Trimmer. His story of high adventure.
It was all in the papers the next day. My name and picture on the front pages. Man killed was named Sadler. It was thought he had something to do with the underworld and gangs in the city. Police were very nice to me. When I objected to being in a jail cell, they put me up at a hotel. Kept a patrolman to watch over me. My wife, May, came down to see me every day. I had her start a scrapbook of all the times my name or picture was in the papers. But after a while, after days of looking at police photos of criminals and watching them parade men before me, I guess the police began to get tired.
They'll be ready for you in a minute.
Yeah. I'll be ready, Lieutenant.
I hope we'll have some luck today.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah. Your wife's outside.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Don't go anywhere.
I won't.
No, you wouldn't.
Stan.
Good morning, May.
Mr. Manny called this morning.
Oh, how is he?
He wants to know when you're coming back to work.
Oh, he does.
Stan, it's been weeks and he has a right to...
I can't help it if the police want me, can I?
No, it's just taking so long.
We haven't found the killer yet.
Are you sure you did see him, Stan?
May, I know I did.
All right.
Oh, here's some more clippings from the paper.
Yes.
Next time you come down, bring the scrapbook. I'd like to see it.
I will.
You pasted them in neatly, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, not any pictures like there was at first.
I guess the papers have lost interest.
Here, this is a good one in the papers here yesterday. Listen in the editorial section here. It seems now added to the list of the city's unsolved crimes is the Sadler killing. The police still have Mr. Stanley Trimmer, who can positively identify the murder in this case, yet so far they have been unable, and then there's some more of it. Be sure you underline my name, May.
I will.
All right, Trimmer.
I'm coming.
Stan, why don't you come home?
Why, I can't.
Why don't you just say you don't remember what he looks like? Then they'll let you come home and live a normal life.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
Better than living...
I told you I'm important in this case. Without me, they don't have a thing.
Please, Stan.
I can't. You know I can't.
No, I suppose not.
I'll see you tomorrow, May. And don't forget the scrapbook.
I won't.
Bye, dear.
Over here, Trimmer.
Oh, thank you.
Sit down.
Yes.
All right, Mike. Start him through.
Yes. First, Miss Sutcross. Come on, line up his front. That's it.
Any of those?
No, none of those.
Take them off. Bring on the next group.
All right, walk off to the left.
Sure you'd know him if you saw him, huh?
Why, I know I would, Lieutenant. I've told you that 100 times.
Yeah, just wondered.
I think you're doing a wonderful job, and I realize that it takes time.
Yeah. Bring him on, Mike.
Yes, sir.
By the way, the big boys are getting impatient.
I don't understand.
Very simple. We're getting no results. If we don't pretty soon, they're going to assign me to something else.
You mean give up?
No, just let it rest for a while. Wouldn't you like to go home?
Well, yes.
You must be tired of all this anyway, aren't you?
Why, no, of course not.
Now, cross and face the center. That's it. Now, hey, take your hand away from your eyes over there. Come on, face front. Look into the light.
None of these, is it?
No, no.
All right, move them out.
Wait.
Hold it. Yeah?
That, the third man from the end.
Does he look like the one?
Let me see.
Well?
I think he's the one.
What?
Yes, he is.
You're sure?
He doesn't have on a gray overcoat, but he's the one.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Yes, that's the man.
Step him out of line, Mike. Third from the left.
Yes, sir.
Now what do you say, Trimmer?
That's him.
You're not making a mistake.
I know, I tell you. That's the man.
You'll swear to that in court.
Of course I will.
All right. That's it, Mike. We got him.
Well, guess you'll be able to get back to work, huh, Stan?
Yes, I will.
You sure shot off your mouth at the trial.
I only told what I know.
Yeah, I read this morning in the paper. He's going to get the chair.
Every word I said, they quoted me in the papers.
Well, now you can get back to selling cars, huh?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, I've been debating whether I should tell Manny that I'm quitting.
Quitting? What for?
Well, you know how it is, Larry. There's more important things than selling cars.
Oh, heck, you can move a lot of them now. Well, with your name and picture in the papers, everybody will know you.
Yes, but there's more important things to do.
Yeah, like what?
Well, after watching the prosecutor work in the courtroom, I don't know. Maybe I'll go into politics.
What do you know about politics?
I know more than you realize. I've got a little name now, so I think I'll... Oh, excuse me.
People, look where they're going. Hey, what's the matter? What are you stopping for?
I don't...
What are you staring at? You know him?
No.
He must know you. He stopped and turned around.
No.
Hey, what's eating you?
We better get to work. Come on.
Yeah. Hey, wait!
No.
You sick?
Huh? Gotta get inside.
I felt sick when I was...
It can't be. I know it can't be.
Stan, maybe you better see a doctor. You look white as...
Where's the phone?
There's one upstairs in Manny's office.
No, I don't need it.
You got heart trouble, huh?
Operator.
Hey, your friend's outside the window looking in, see him?
Operator, I want to... What?
I said your friend must have followed you. He's outside the window looking in. The guy you bumped into.
Operator.
Where?
There, by the door.
Oh.
Operator.
You want me to ask him in?
No.
Operator.
You better go home, Stan. You look bad.
Home, yes, home. Larry.
Yeah?
Would you mind driving me home? I don't think I can make it. Alone, I mean.
Sure, come on.
May.
Yes?
Come here.
What is it?
Look out the window across the street there.
What?
See that man by the drugstore?
Yes.
You know him?
Can't see him very well.
You know him? See, he's walking under the streetlight.
No, I don't. Stan, won't you let me call a doctor?
No.
You look...
I said no. It's just my imagination. Yes, that's it.
We should eat some supper.
It's got to be. It's got to be.
Read in the paper that your killer's going to the electric...
Will you be quiet?
All right.
It's the door.
No, it's the phone. I'll get it.
If it's for me, I'm not...
Hello? Yes? Who's calling? Oh, just a moment. It's for you, Stan.
Who is it?
I don't know. He won't give his name.
Tell him I'm not... Tell him...
Tell him what? What, Stan?
I'll take it. Hello?
Stanley Trimmer?
Yes?
Don't talk.
What?
Don't
what?
Talk.
I don't understand. What? Hello? Hello? Don't talk.
Who was it?
I was sure.
Stan, what is it?
Call Lieutenant Boyle. Made a mistake, yes?
Stan!
Tell him I made the wrong... Don't talk. He's a killer. No.
Stan,
no.
Sit down.
I've got to think. Don't talk. Killer.
Stan. Hey, Stan.
Yes?
How come you're so late? Still feeling bad?
Yes, yes, that's it.
Say, I sold the convertible. You remember you said... What are you staring at? You see somebody you know outside?
What? Oh, nothing. No, nobody.
Oh, yeah, there's a guy waiting for you.
Where?
Sitting back in that convertible. I told him I didn't know if you'd be in, but he said he'd wait around a bit.
Oh, it's you. Hello, Lieutenant.
Nice buggy. How much is it?
I don't know. Around 1,200.
Too much.
What do you want?
Yeah, I just dropped around to say hello.
Well, I'm very busy. I have to make up for time lost, you know. You know how it is.
Sure. Well, they took your killer up the river yesterday.
Did they?
Expecting somebody?
No, why?
Keep looking out that door.
Why, just looking for customers.
Yeah. How much is this one?
1,800.
Too much. You know, Trimmer, I still can't figure a motive for that Collins boy.
Motive?
He didn't have an alibi. He had a conviction for robbery against him, but I can't see a weak-minded character like him walking right up and shooting down Benny Sattler. Nah. It takes a cold killer. A guy will knock off 2-3 people, not give it a second thought. That's why we kept you guarded until you identified Collins. We got him pinned down. Looked like that kind of murder. You were safe. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Oh, well, you got him for us. He's going to burn in 2 weeks.
Lieutenant.
Yeah?
I...
Yeah?
I don't know.
Where are you going?
I just want to see. No.
Must be hungry for customers. Why not go outside and grab him instead of looking through the window?
Lieutenant, I made a mistake.
What?
I made a mistake. I identified the wrong man.
You what?
Collins wasn't the man I saw in the building lobby. He's innocent.
What makes you think so?
I saw the real killer on the street. I bumped into him a couple of days ago. Lieutenant, you've got to...
Oh, that's it. I never figured you'd get jury.
I saw him and he...
Now, take it easy, Trimmer. Don't worry about
but
it.
But I can't help it. That innocent man is going to die. The real killer knows that I've talked
just
to
relax,
you.
Relax. It's
and the
all
way
over.
He looked at me when I bumped into him. He knew
with
who I was.
With your picture in the papers so much, how could he help?
Exactly. And then that
now,
night...
Trimmer, relax, I said. I know all about it.
You do?
Sure, it's happened before more times than I can count.
Has?
Sure. Wouldn't as well put a guy in the electric chair, he gets conscience stricken. Feels guilty. Have that terrible feeling that you might have made a mistake.
Yes, but I'm sure.
I know all about it. You try to pick out another guy's a real killer. That's what your conscience says. Believe me, it's all it is. It happens all the time. Too much excitement for you, that's all. Need a little relaxation.
Maybe that's it.
Sure, go home, take it easy. I'll drop around again after it's all over and you'll feel better. Just relax. You did what any other public-spirited citizen would do. That's what the paper said. You see, and relax, will you?
Relax. Yes, it's just my... The phone. Lieutenant, he called me on the phone and he said... He called me on the phone.
Hey, Stan. Manny wants to see you. Hey, Stan, where you going?
Get home. Safe at home.
today's evening papers, Stan.
You got all of them?
Yes. Getting quite cold out. Stan.
Yes?
It's been over a week. You've got to go out sometime.
I'm all right.
Phone the showroom. They put Larry in your job.
What if they did? What if they did?
I thought you'd like to know. We're living off our savings, Stan. They won't last.
I know what I'm doing. Will you let me alone?
A beautiful new sedan parked across the street when I came in. Do you see it?
Yes.
Thought you might be interested, because it's the kind you always said you want to sell. And
I see it. I tell you, I see it. What do you want me to do? Get down on my knees and thank you for pointing it out to me? I don't care what you thought. I don't care about anything.
Stan, is it because that Collins man's going to be electrocuted?
No, no, it's not that. It's not anything. Will you get out of here and stop asking me questions? Get out! Get out! Can't you understand what I want? Get out!
Yes, I understand. And that's the last time.
What?
You're never going to shout at me again.
May.
You've always been right. You've always known that nobody else could be right. Then you happened to get your name and picture in the paper because you're new, and it only made you worse.
May.
No, I'm not going to get out. You are. Take your scrapbook and get out. You get out. Get out.
No, May. No, no, no. All the time he's been waiting outside. I've seen him, May.
Get out.
May. No. No, May.
Things are getting pretty hot for Stanley Trimmer. He's lost his job, his wife threw him out, and someone who thinks he shouldn't talk seems to be following him very closely. What would you do if you were faced with a situation so clearly murderous, with you as the victim? Well, we'll find out. And by this time, I'm sure you'll agree it's the kind of story that can only be called High Adventure.
I'm going to take you away from this tense moment of high adventure for just 45 seconds. But it's well worth the time because I'm going to say a word about the self-confidence that comes to a man when he's sure of good grooming. We all know how much good grooming really counts in business as well as in social life. That's why it's so important to make a habit of using Old Spice aftershave lotion with every morning shave. Once you've tried Old Spice lotion, its bracing freshness will become a part of your daily grooming you'll never want to miss. And you'll find that the ship-decorated Old Spice bottles are a pleasure to see and to use. So remember, for a wonderful sense of confidence and well-being, use Old Spice aftershave lotion tomorrow and every morning.
Now back to Stanley Trimmer as he continues his story of High Adventure.
When May pushed me out of the house, I started up the street, and the first thing in my mind was to head straight for the police station. Then I heard the footsteps behind me. I knew if I headed in that direction, I'd never get there alive. He'd killed me before the police got there to save me. He'd have gotten me the moment he knew I'd tipped them off. And now it was too late. Too late to go to the police and convince them I'd been wrong. Too late to admit to the newspapers I'd been wrong, that I'd made a fool of myself. It was too late. There was only one place I could think of to go. And I headed there. I was afraid to look behind me. Finally, I didn't hear the footsteps anymore, and I looked and no one was following me. It was dark when I let myself in the showroom. Only light from the neon sign in the window to see by.
Don't turn them on, Jim.
What?
We can do without no lights.
What do you want?
Don't you know, Jim?
When? No.
I said, don't talk.
Talk? No, no, I didn't talk.
I think you did.
No, no, I didn't.
Come back away from the windows.
All right. All right.
More.
Yes.
You see the heater, don't you?
Yes.
Just so you don't get ideas.
What do you want?
What do you think?
I don't know. I don't have much money in my wallet.
Money?
I didn't tell anyone. I swear I didn't.
You swore to a couple of things that wasn't true.
I...
Yeah. Thanks, Jim.
Yes.
But I just want to make sure you keep on doing good by me.
I will.
And there's just one way I know how to do it. I don't like wasting time checking up on you all the time, so tonight you made my wedding pay off.
If you kill me, then Collins will die for a murder he didn't have anything to do with.
And I'm clean. Is that bad?
Yes.
Goodbye, chum.
You're not going to get away with it.
You're going to stop me?
Yes.
How?
Well, first I take some paper clips from the desk here.
Yeah.
And I pick up the phone and dial for the police. That's the least I can do.
Goodbye, chum. Don't tell me I missed. Not a clean job, need some more. Well, I'll get you. I'll keep between you and the door. I can't lose, can I? Where'd I get you? In the arm? I don't want to shoot holes in these nice, pretty cars. You boss mutt, and I like... Cut that off! No, you don't!
I gotta... There.
You tricky little...
One more.
You think you can pull... Swear by this one! Noise!
Oh, they won't stick. I've got to make them stick. Somebody's got to hear. Got to hear!
That's it! It's out cold! Set them over the air! Get the lights while I cut this racket!
Hey, here he is over here.
Enough light.
Fine, keep your eye on the punk.
Yes, sir.
All right, Trimmer, we can... Where are you hit?
In my shoulder.
Ambulance, Mike.
Yes, sir.
With some trick. Using the paper clips to hold down the car horns, Trimmer. We're outside, but we wouldn't have known anything was wrong, or if you were even inside if you hadn't pulled it.
I hope somebody would hear.
A man lost you when you took the subway. We figured you'd come here.
Your man?
Sure, we've been watching you for the last 3 weeks. I thought it over. I knew something must have scared you. You weren't the type to have a conscience. It was a hunch.
I tried to tell you. I guess I was afraid what would happen if you found out I was wrong.
Everybody's got a right to be wrong.
Yes.
The Eater man over there must have been waiting inside here until the night you came down. Too bad you didn't tell us all about it. We could have protected you better. Anyway, Collins will go free, so you won't have to worry about your conscience. You'll have more headlines and pictures for your scrapbook.
I don't want them.
Oh, not worth the price of a bullet in the shoulder, eh?
No. It's more costly than that. I didn't pay it. May did. Larry, even Manny did. Man I never knew, stranger, that Collins almost paid with his life. I'll pay them back. I'll pay them back.
I'm never sure of anything, mister, so I'll be watching. Mike, where's that ambulance?
Sentinel on 73rd, as told by the man it happened to, Stanley Trimmer. Thank you, sir. We'll place your story in the archives of the High Adventure Society, marked hold for future publication. And if you ask me, I'd say that you do have a right to be wrong once in a while, but never in the wrong place at the right time, or the righting of a wrong can be left right out in the middle of... There, you see how complicated it can get? Well, anyway, featured in the High Adventure cast for this meeting were Wendell Holmes, Connie Lemke, Ross Martin, Maurice Tarplin, and Earl George. The High Adventure music is conducted by Lou Davies. And next week, friends and members, the High Adventure Society is proud to present one of the strangest tales ever to find its way into our society files. It's about four men who gambled with death for million-dollar stakes, only to find that someone always loses. We call it the Snowmen. So, until next week and the Snowmen, this is your presiding officer saying, it's around you, no matter where or who you are. Only we call it High Adventure. Remember to join us again next week when Shulton brings you another exciting story of High Adventure, The Snowmen. And remember, too, that Old Spice After Shave Lotion gives you wonderful value for your money. There are two generous sizes of this quality lotion, $1 and $1.75. Look for the handsome red Old Spice cartons at drug and department stores everywhere.
and for that top-of-the-world feeling, use Old Spice lotion after every shave.
Today, hear Comedy and Mystery with Henry Morgan and Chris London on NBC.
Listen at the close of this program for an important announcement of a change in time for Tales of the Texas Rangers.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. Tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. From the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Blood Relative.
It is 4 p.m., June 26, 1949. Will Bonner, proprietor of the general store at Stump Hill, Texas, is waiting on Mac Kennedy, a dirt farmer.
Yeah. 8 pounds of flour and the bacon, Mac. Anything else?
Yeah, carton of cigarettes.
Yeah. How about making it a couple of sacks of tobacco, huh?
What's the matter, Will? My credit no good anymore?
Mac, I think you ought to pull in your horns a little. Your bill's running kind of high.
You get your money, don't you?
Ain't a question of getting it, Mac. You stand to make a good crop this year. Unless you have to pay out, the better chance you'll have to get on your feet permanent without no credit.
Let me worry about... go ahead, wait on him.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. I got time.
No, I'll take care of you, stranger. What do you have?
Stranger? Time ain't helping your sight any, is it, Uncle Will?
Huh? Ben, well, dang it, boy, you changed. How do you like that? Didn't recognize my own blood relative. Hmm. Well, Liz, come see who's here. Will your aunt sees you.
What is it, Will?
Hey, don't say nothing. Fella wants to know if you want to buy some perfume.
Perfume? Why, land, no, Will, you could have told him that. What would I do with... Why... It's your brother's boy, Ben.
It sure is.
Stop cackling, Will. You know about your pa.
I know he's dead.
Oh, being glad to see you, Ben. I almost forgot. It happened last winter.
The pneumonia.
Yeah, we tried to locate you, boy, but nobody knew where you was.
Nobody would have wanted to know. I was in a pen at Huntsville.
Huh?
That's where I've been for 4 years.
In the prison? Your pa never said...
Well, nobody's business but mine.
Well, Ben, I guess we can talk that over later. You want to stay? There's a place here.
I ain't asking you for nothing, except what's coming to me. I just want you to buy out my pa's share of the store and pay me off.
Well, Ben, your pa never did have a share in the store. He only worked for me.
What you trying to get away with, Uncle Will? He told me he was going in with you when he moved out here.
But then you knew your pa... He always talked big, but he never did have a dime of his own.
You telling me about my own pa?
No, we ain't running him down, boy. He never harmed nobody, but talking big was just his way.
Look, I come to get what's mine. Do I get it or don't I?
Ben, there's a bed and a job waiting for you if you want them. You're kinfolk, and that makes you welcome. But outside of that, there ain't nothing here that's yours.
You're going to pay me out for
you. You just hold on, young
fella. Let me go.
Hey, turn him loose. Turn him loose, mate. Reckon I can still take care of myself.
Maybe you can. Maybe you can't, Uncle Will. I'm staying around town to give you a chance to change your mind. I'm warning you. I'm going to get what's mine if I have to kill you for it.
following morning, June 27th, neighbors found Will Bonner shot to death and his wife Liz critically wounded and unconscious in the back room living quarters of their store. The sheriff called with the assistance of a Texas Ranger. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned to the case.
Well, that's all of the story, just like I found it, Jace.
You look pretty downhearted, Sheriff. Bonner, a friend of yours?
I knowed him all my life. He helped me get elected. Hey, body's in the back room. You want to see it?
Yeah. You can stay here if you'd rather.
No, I'll come. Guess you noticed the way the safe was cracked and the door where the killer got in.
Yeah, professional job, all right.
I covered Will over with a sheet. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I...
It's all right. Coroner hasn't been here yet, huh?
No, he's on his way.
Dead about 6-7 hours.
How do you figure that, Jace?
Rigor mortis just beginning to set in. You see a lot of them, you get to know.
9 o'clock now. That means it happened about 2 or 3 this morning, huh?
That's close to it. How about Bonner's wife? She going to pull through?
Doc Woodson took her to the county hospital. He said there's a little chance.
You've got a deputy posted at the hospital in case she comes to?
Yep, he can take any statement she...
Sheriff, I got to talk to you a minute.
Well, all right, Jody, come in. Farmhand works for Mac Kennedy on and off.
Howdy, Ranger. Sheriff?
What's on your mind, Jody?
Well, I just come to pick up some feed in Mac's pickup. Heard about what happened.
Know anything about it?
Not exactly. But I was in town with Mac yesterday afternoon. He come to trust some supplies from Bonner.
What time?
Oh, about 4 o'clock. I wasn't in the store with him, but when he come out and we was driving back, Mac said Bonner had a fuss with somebody. Fella threatened to kill him.
He say who the fella was?
No, but whoever it was, he took a swing at Bonner. Mac had to grab him to stop a fight.
Where's Kennedy now?
Well, he was out plowing when I left.
Won't be able to get him by phone then. Come on, Sheriff. Let's get out there and talk to him.
Dead? Will Bonner dead?
Yeah, and Liz is mighty close to joining him, Mac.
Better cut the motor on your tractor.
Yeah. Sheriff, Will should have told you about that fella. I should have called and told you myself after what he threatened to do to him.
Too late for what anybody should have done. You know the man?
Never saw him before, but I know who he is. Bonner's nephew. Fresh out of Huntsville, I heard him say so.
An ex-con, and you didn't say anything about it?
Well, Sheriff, how could I know he'd do it? A blood relative. Wasn't my affair, was it?
You know the man if you saw him again?
I'd know him any place.
You better come into town with us. Talk while we ride.
Okay.
Did Bonner mention his nephew's name?
Well, he called him Ben.
Hey, Will Bonner had a brother died last year. Must have been his boy.
We'll find out. Way into Stump Hill, Mac Kennedy told us the story of the threat and gave me a description of Ben Bonner. I put a shortwave radio call through to KTXA. Unit 10 to KTXA.
KTXA, go ahead, Unit 10.
Request all units be alerted to look out for subject Ben Bonner, recently released from Huntsville. Subject wanted for questioning in murder of Will Bonner at Stump Hill.
10-4.
Request special alert on all roads leading from Stump Hill. Subject may be leaving area on foot or by hitchhike.
10-4.
Unit 10, clear.
KTXA, Austin.
Maybe young Bonner didn't run for it, Jace. He may be hiding out someplace nearby.
Not likely, Sheriff. If he killed his uncle, he'll go for distance.
He killed him, all right. You can bet on that.
When a man's life's at stake, Kennedy, I don't bet. Ben Bonner wasn't around Stump Hill. He pulled stakes and made a run for it, all right. We got the information from a woman in the crowd near the store when we got back to town. Her name was Sadie Waddle. She ran a rooming house.
I rent all my rooms to extra farmhands, generally, because I don't have to serve no meals that way with them eating where they're working. So naturally, I thought this fella was one of them migratory hands.
I understand all that, ma'am. All I want to know is when Ben Bonner left your place.
Well, it must have been just around midnight last night. Everybody was in and sleeping, and the house was locked up. And, well, the phone woke me up, and it was for him, that Ben.
Phone, huh? You know who called him?
Of course not. I didn't know who he was or nothing about him, except his name was Ben.
Did you recognize the voice of the person who called?
No.
Well, please go ahead about the phone call.
Well, I called him to the phone, that's all. Fine time of night to be waking people, I told him. Then he answered it. Right after that, he lit out like the devil was after him.
You hear any of the conversation?
I did not. I mind my own business. Besides, all he said was hello. After that, all the talking must have been done by whoever called him, because he never said another word, just listened a minute, then hung up and lit out.
Phone ringing in the store, Jase. I better get it.
Go ahead, Sheriff. Well, thanks for your help, Mrs. Waddle.
I'm glad I'm alive to give it. Whew. I might have been murdered in my own sleep with an ex-convict under my roof. Ought to be some way we could tell them from other folks.
A man who served his time can't be expected to carry a brand, ma'am. Besides, how did you know Ben Bonner's an ex-convict?
How did I know? It's all over town, ain't it?
Jase, the call is for you.
Right there, Sheriff. Thanks, ma'am. Excuse me. Who's calling?
Your headquarters, Captain Stinson.
Hello, Captain.
Got some good news for you, Jase. The highway patrol has picked up Ben Bonner.
Fine. Where'd they get him?
Almost El Paso. Patrol car was stopped at a railroad crossing waiting for a freight to get through. They spotted him riding an empty flat.
Freight, huh? It's a good thing they saw him. If he'd made El Paso, he'd been across the border into Juarez in no time.
Well, he didn't make it. They're bringing him back to Stump Hill now. You'll have him there in a few hours. You getting a case against him?
I seem to be getting plenty.
Sound too sure, Jase.
I don't know. You look up his record? What was on his last ticket to Huntsville?
Burglary, Jase. And that fits. Except for the killing this time.
Yeah. It fits all right. Like the executioner's glove. Stump Hill was 5 miles cross-country from the nearest railroad spur. We had time before the highway patrol would be delivering Ben Bonner. We sent Kennedy back to his farm. I unloaded charcoal from my horse trailer, and the sheriff got his horse. We rode to the railroad tracks.
Yeah, he was smart, Jase. Almost got away.
Lots of them almost get away. Sure made a lot of distance in a hurry.
Don't know why you wanted to be sure he came this way to get to the train.
I just wanted to be certain he cut through this 5 miles on foot. Proves he didn't hitchhike a fast ride and pick up a train further on down the line.
Well, luck was with him for a while. He caught the only train he could have caught.
You mean only one freight goes through here at night?
Yep. Hotshot passenger clears first at about 1 a.m. Freight comes through about 15 minutes later. Slows for the grade here where he jumped it.
About 1:15 is the schedule for the freight then, huh?
That's right.
Well, let's get back to town. Come on, Chuck.
You look like that train schedule means something, Jase.
It might. Coroner's report ought to be in by the time we get back to town.
Hey, I see what you mean. If Bonner was killed between 2 and 3 a.m. like you figured...
It'll mean his nephew Ben was on that freight at the time the old man was killed. Coroner's report had been completed. It was waiting at the sheriff's office when we got back.
Well, you didn't miss by much, Jase. Here's the report on the time of death.
What is it?
Between 1 and 2 a.m.
Then Ben Bonner didn't kill his uncle. Even if he ran the 5 miles across country, his track showed as he walked, he couldn't have made it in time to catch that freight.
Doesn't look that way. Bullets from Bonner's body have been sent through to Austin. We may get a lead from ballistics.
I'm going to do some more checking around town on the...
Just a second, Jase. Sheriff speaking... Oh, good, good. She did, huh? No, you stay right there. Goodbye. Well, Jase, looks like there's been a mistake someplace. That was my deputy at the county hospital. Liz Bonner regained consciousness for a few seconds.
What'd she say?
She said her and her husband were shot by their nephew, Ben.
You are listening to Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jase Pearson. We continue with tonight's case, Blood Relative, an authentic story from the files of the Texas Rangers.
The highway patrol brought Ben Bonner back to Stump Hill and unloaded him at the local jail where the sheriff and I questioned him.
But I didn't kill him, I tell you.
Didn't even know he was dead till now.
You said you was gonna kill him. You said it in front of a witness.
Man, there's a difference between saying and doing.
If you had nothing to do with it, why'd you run away?
Because somebody called me up last night at the rooming house late. It was a man. Said he was a friend and wanted to warn me the sheriff was gonna pick me up for threatening Uncle Will.
You scare easy, don't you?
You bet your life I do, mister. I just pulled 4 years at Huntsville and I had enough. I don't want no more. Maybe I was tough when I went to Uncle Will yesterday, but last night when I got that call, I was scared sick.
And you don't know who called you?
No, I don't
know. You sure it wasn't somebody you served time with, letting you know he was here to help you with the job?
No. Look, you gotta believe me. This is a murder rap. You can't send me up for it just because I shot off my mouth. That ain't evidence.
Ben, there's more than that. Your Aunt Liz didn't die. She came to at the hospital. She says it was you who gunned her and her husband.
That's a dirty lie. Look, if I did that, if I shot them and robbed the store, what was I doing on a freight? What did I do with the money? I ain't going to say anymore. I ain't going to talk till I see a lawyer.
That's your right. We told you that in the beginning. All right, Sheriff. Guess you can lock him up again.
Go on. Go ahead, Ben.
Ranger, please. I didn't do it. Maybe the fellow who told you I threatened Uncle Will didn't tell you everything. Maybe you ought to ask him why there was arguing when I come into the store.
All right, Ben. All right. Well, what do you think, Chase?
I don't know. Let's get outside.
If he did have an accomplice, the other fellow might be carting the loot and the gun.
Might be. I'll see you later, Sheriff. I'm driving over to the hospital at the county seat. I want to talk to his aunt, Liz Bonner. Mrs. Bonner, the doctor will only let me stay a minute.
Well, shot Will, just getting up.
Who shot him, Mrs. Bonner?
Ben. Ben, ungrateful, wanted to help him.
How did it happen?
It was a noise in the store. Woke us up. Mm-hmm. Will called and said, "Who's there?" Then he got up, went to put on the lights, but Ben shot him.
Did he get the lights on? Did you ever see your nephew?
No. But it was him. He said he'd do it. It was him.
If you didn't see him, did he say anything? Did you hear his voice and recognize him?
No, he just shot Will. I screamed, and that's all.
But you didn't see Ben or recognize his voice?
No, but he said he would. It couldn't be anybody else.
I think you're wrong, ma'am. I think it could be. Burned up the road back to Stump Hill and got the sheriff. I wanted to make another check of the store and find out a few things about Mac Kennedy.
Doggone it, Jace. You're sending your dogs at the wrong tree. Mac Kennedy's been Will's friend for years.
I just asked if Kennedy'd ever been in trouble.
Never. He's an honest, God-fearing dirt farmer, and that's all.
What kind of shape is he in financially?
Well, Jace, a man don't have to be a criminal just because he's down on his luck. Mac's crops have been bad.
Sheriff, I'm just asking a few questions, that's all.
Well, I'm sorry, Jace. I reckon Mac's in hock up to his neck. Place and all his equipment is mortgaged.
How come he can afford a hired hand?
You mean Jody? Mm-hmm. Oh, he just drifts in and out. Ain't much of a worker, but he's all Mac needs. Migrates in the spring for planting season, then out again in the fall after harvest.
He doesn't work for nothing, does he?
Mac pays him right off when he makes his crop and sells it.
That the way he pays everybody?
Yeah, it's the only time he ever has any cash. Why?
Just wondering. Did Mac buy here on credit from Bonner?
Well, I guess so. Why? You find something in the ledger?
Come take a look. Seems to be a page torn out. The book is kept in alphabetical order. Missing page is in the K's. If there was a charge page in here for Kennedy, it'd be right here.
Now you got something I can't fight, Jace. What a setup. An ex-con threatens to kill a man, makes it perfect for somebody else to do the job and set the jailbird up for a frame.
Come on, Sheriff. Let's get out to Kennedy's place again. Only this trip, we won't be asking questions about Ben Bonner.
There's one thing still bothering me, Jace. Mac Kennedy's never been in trouble. So how come we both spotted the marks of a professional knob-knocker on the burglary?
Yeah, it's been bothering me, too. And the more I think of it, the more I wonder why he tore that charge page out of the ledger. Why do something that would point right at him when he had somebody else all set up to take the fall? Just beating the bill wouldn't make the chance worthwhile.
Not with murder, it wouldn't.
KTXA to Unit 10.
Oh, this may be the ballistics report, Jace.
Yeah. Unit 10, Go ahead, KTXA.
Lab report completed on bullets used in the slaying of Will Bonner. 38 caliber, probably Smith & Wesson Police Special.
10-4. Unit 10, clear.
KTXA, Austin.
A minute, KTXA. Stand by, please.
KTXA, standing by.
What's the matter, Jace?
Just got an idea, something that didn't fit before. That hand who works for Kennedy, that Jody. What's his last name?
Jody? Let's see. It's Pelham. Jody Pelham. Why?
I'll tell you in a minute. You there, KTXA?
Standing by, Unit 10.
This unit requests quick check on subject Jody Pelham. Repeat, Jody Pelham. Urgent.
10-4. Get back to you with information soon as possible.
Unit 10, clear.
KTXA, Austin.
Jace, you figuring Jody helped Mac Kennedy to pull this job?
Maybe. Or maybe Jody did it on his own. I want to know if he's got a record.
What switched your thinking to him?
He was waiting outside Bonner's store for Kennedy when Ben walked in yesterday and made his threats.
Well, sure, he admitted that. Kennedy told him about Ben when he come out and they drove on back to the farm.
Yeah, but when Jody came into town the next morning and came to tell us about the threats, he pretended he didn't know too much. Just knew that old Will Bonner'd been threatened. Couldn't say who made the threats.
Well, I don't get what you're driving at, Joe.
If Kennedy told him, he must have told him the whole story about the threats coming from Bonner's nephew. A nephew just gotten out of prison. That'd be the logical way to tell it. And that's the way Kennedy did tell it. But Jody was anxious not to seem to know too much.
Hey, sure, I see what you mean. Kennedy wasn't in town this morning till we went out and brought him in.
Yeah, but when we got back, everybody in town knew that the man we were looking for was Bonner's nephew and that he was an ex-con. Sadie Waddles told us that.
Only one it could have come from was Jody. He spread it around while we were out getting Kennedy.
When we get to the farm, draw him out. Don't pounce on him until I get an answer on him from Austin.
I hope it's the right answer. It may save Mac Kennedy's life.
It was dark when we reached the farmhouse. There was a light on in the house, but the pickup truck wasn't in sight in the open garage. We left my car around in back of the house and went up on the porch.
Okay, okay, hold your horses.
Oh, Sheriff, Ranger, I thought it was Jody coming back with the pickup.
Where'd he go?
He drove up north to Edgeville this afternoon. Said he wanted to get something. He ought to be back soon.
Well, aren't you going to ask us in, Mac?
Oh, sure, sure thing. Make yourself at home. I understand you got Bonner's nephew today. Heard a couple of women chewing about it on the party line.
Yeah, we got him temporarily.
What do you mean, temporarily?
He didn't kill anybody, Mac.
Hmm?
You had an argument with Bonner yesterday. What about?
I reckon that's my business.
Yours and Bonner's. But he's dead now, so that makes it my business.
Better talk up, Mac.
Well, I've been running up a big bill. Will was cutting me down a little.
You admit you owed him money.
Why wouldn't I admit it? I pay my bills. Any man says otherwise is a liar.
Nobody is saying otherwise, Mac.
You keep a gun around here anyplace?
Yeah.
What kind?
Smith & Wesson 38. It's right there on the mantle over the fireplace.
I'll get it, Jason.
Oh, don't wipe off any prints. Stick a pencil in the muzzle and lift it that way.
Okay. Pencil won't go in, Jace. Something jamming it.
And let me see. I have to worry about prints on that. Outside's been wiped clean with an oil rag.
Looks like paper jammed in there.
We'll soon find out. I'll take these shells out and poke the pencil through. There.
What? Why, it's Mac's charge page from the ledger.
What's that? What are you trying to pull?
Take it easy, Mac. We're not after you. Smell this gun and look at it, Sheriff. It was used, then reloaded, but never cleaned.
Well, that gun hasn't been touched in years.
Mac, this gun killed Will Bonner and almost killed his wife last night. Jody Pelham did it after you told him about Bonner's nephew.
But why would he tear out that page and plant it here?
So he could use Mac here to give himself a double cover-up. He made the call to the rooming house and got Ben Bonner to run. But he knew if Ben was caught anyplace and could set up an alibi, there'd be a second search. That's why he tore out the page and planted it here on Mac.
I'm sure glad you know it wasn't me.
If it was you, you'd have burned the page.
That dirty little... Hey, there he comes now. That's the pickup.
You want to help us nail him?
I'd like to blow his brains out.
There's a better way. Let him feel safe. Here, let me put these cuffs on you quick.
Mm-hmm.
Put that gun back in the mantle, Sheriff.
Yeah, but are you sure that you...
Like he says, Mac.
Boy... I didn't know anybody was here. Mac, what's the matter?
What are you doing with those things on?
What's your guess, Jody? Or what's in that bag you're carrying?
Well, I just picked me up a bottle and package stolen in Edgeville.
What'd you use for money? You don't get credit on liquor.
Well, Mac, he paid me some wages this morning.
Why, you dirty little liar.
Oh, I get it. I kind of wondered where he got the money.
Now you know, huh?
Well, when I got up last night and found he was gone, I sort of got to wondering this morning.
You
shut up, Mac.
All right, Sheriff. I guess we can take him in. You better come along to make a statement, Jody.
Sure. I hate to do a thing like this to a friend, but I guess he deserves it, doing old Bonner like he did.
Yeah. I thought you'd feel that way. Let's go. You might as well admit you fired the gun, Mac. A diphenylamine test will prove you did.
What kind of test is that?
A man fires a gun, the nitrate from the powder gets into the pores of his hand. Chemical application shows it up.
Well, he washed his hands since last night, I reckon.
Oh, washing won't get it out. Stays for a couple of days. You fired a gun recently, Jody?
No.
Well, then we make the same test on your hand. It'll show you the difference.
Well, you don't have to do that. I don't understand that kind of stuff anyway.
That's too bad. I thought you might like to see how we work. Get in. Watch him, Sheriff.
All right.
Austin ought to have that information I requested before, Sheriff.
Yeah.
This might bore you, Jody. Unit 10 to KTXA.
Go ahead, Unit 10.
This unit back in service.
Been waiting for you. Have information you requested on subject Jody Pelham.
What's that?
2 years Huntsville burglary. 3 years Louisiana State Penitentiary burglary and safe-cracking.
10-4, Unit 10, clear.
KTXA, Austin.
Shut up this car. Let me get out of here.
Watch him, Sheriff.
Don't make me use this gun, Jody.
You rotten.
Never mind that, Mac. Here, take these keys and put the cuffs on the right man, Sheriff. We might as well have him there. He'll be wearing them a lot until he reaches the death cell at Huntsville.
Jody Pelham was tried and convicted for the wanton murder of Will Bonner. On the morning of December 6, 1949, at Huntsville Penitentiary, his sentence was carried out. Death in the electric chair.
And now, here again is the star of our show, Joel McRae.
Folks, Tales of the Texas Rangers is moving to a new time. You won't hear us next Sunday, but the week after that, we'll be back just an hour and a half later than usual on NBC, right after Theater Guild. So we'll see you in 2 weeks, on Sunday, November 26th, and I hope you'll be listening. Good night.
Good night, Joel. See you 1 week from this coming Sunday. Remember, friends, as Joel told you, Tales of the Texas Rangers will come to you an hour and a half later, immediately following Theater Guild. Beginning next Sunday at this time, you'll hear Hedda Hopper's fine program. The week after next, November 26th, Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson will be with you again. A week from Sunday, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae is currently seen starring in the MGM production Stars in My Crown. Tonight's cast included Tony Barrett, Bill Johnstone, Joe Duvall, Virginia Gregg, Parley Bear, and Byron Kane. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcott, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. One week from next Sunday, Tales of the Texas Rangers will be back with you immediately following Theater Guild. Consult your local radio schedule for time. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed our selections. You can find more from Tales of the Texas Rangers, My Adventure, past episodes of this podcast, and all the other shows at RelicRadio.com. You'll also find a link to our Shoutcast stream there and our donate button. If you enjoy this and all the shows, would like to help out, keep it all going, click on that donate button. You'll find we have some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts, though any donation is very appreciated. Thank you, as always, to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. Talk again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.